Well, I don't know that we've ever taken a poll on this, but I don't know how many sports fans we have in the group. But you don't have to be a sports fan to know that there's a basketball tournament going on right now. Yes? Yes, 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 yes. And if this is new news to some of you in the room, I'm so impressed if it is. But this basketball tournament is at the college level. It started 2 weeks ago. It actually started, instead of starting with 64 teams, it started with 66 teams. It's a single elimination tournament. Yeah, I knew you were going to do that. It's a single elimination tournament, which means if you lose, you're out. There are no second chances. There are no do-overs. And at this point, after 2 weeks, we've had 62 games. And I think our family has watched almost all of them. And there are only four teams left. And these four teams are referred to as the Final Four. So, let's see. Do we have any Texas Tech Red Raiders? Any? Okay. I knew this was going to bring it out. Okay. We've got Auburn Tigers right here. Hold it up. Whoa! I didn't know. So represented. I was conscious that Amy Sims the other night, she has Tar Heels in her family and Auburn Tigers in her family. And I knew that was a terrible setup. In mourning for a week, I know. Okay. How about UVA Cavaliers? Nessa, we're with you. We're with you. And finally, I'm not sure if Sparty is going to be represented. Michigan State Spartans? No. Sally Spaniola, I'm so sorry she's not with us anymore, but she's so excited. She is a huge Spartan fan. Well, those are the Final Four, my dears, and we don't have a winner yet. We don't have a winner yet. Now, you're going to, oh, the ladies? Oh, the NIT. Oh, excuse me. Okay, ladies. We're going off-road. No, sorry. I'm going to leave you out, but I will tell you this, though, y'all. There's a gal. We have a number of Baylor Bears in the night group, and there is one precious gal. I'll identify her, Cynthia Montgomery. I mean, she travels with the Lady Bears. She said, I'm not going to be there for 4 weeks. She was in Tampa. She's going to the final. So anyway, the Baylor Bears ladies are really represented in the night group. Let's, everybody, come back. We don't have a winner yet, but by next Monday night, we are going to have a winner next Monday night. But even though this is in the future when we're going to have a winner, I have already seen the trophy. I have already seen the prize. Yes, I have. Okay. I know. Okay. The night. I know it's upside down. I'm going to explain that. Betty's story's never coming back. Okay. The night before the tournament started, so that is 2 weeks ago today, a family member felt compelled to make the prize. To do that, she had to strip a complete paper towel roll of all of its perfectly good unused paper towels. Y'all, prizes take sacrifice, right? The only problem was the original version was a little top-heavy. As you can see, yeah. It says number one. This was the original idea. So I was advised that if I turned it upside down, it would stay standing. And then when I told the creator of this trophy that I was going to bring it today, yesterday she added this. She just wanted it to have a little bit more special to it. Everybody take a breath. We are actually going to talk about week four of our quest of discerning the voice of God. And we are going to discuss the prize. And more specifically, more intimately, we're going to discuss my prize and your prize. And we're going to look at four things. We're going to look at the truth. We're going to look at peace. We're going to look at breakthrough. And we'll end with the final four. So, truth. We begin with truth. And it may seem odd, but we are going to begin at something called the last. And we've already looked at the last before today, and it is the Last Supper. And I'm grateful that these passages take place during Lent, because we'll celebrate the Last Supper in 2 weeks from tomorrow night. We're going to begin in John 14:6. It is familiar, but it is no less significant because it is familiar. John 14:6, Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he says, "I am." And we're going to stop right there. He says, "I am." And so whatever is going to follow Jesus' "I am" is going to be linked to that first word in the sentence, "I," a person. And then he said, "am." This is present tense. This is now. He didn't say "I was," and he didn't say "I'm going to be." He said, "I am." So what is ever follows this "I am" is going to be true for us right now today. And he said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." Now this will definitely seem minuscule, a minuscule starting place. But the Word, which is the holy voice of God, we are trying to discern the voice of God. The Word of God is the voice of God. Minuscule in that Jesus repeats the little word "the" three times in one sentence. And you know I'm no Greek scholar, but if you look it up in the Greek, it is not implied. It is spoken by the Holy Spirit three times. Jesus said, the. And this is one time we don't need a word study. But you know, once a nerd, always a nerd. So I looked it up. What does "the" mean? You know what it means. It means it's a definite article, but it means specifying, particularizing. And this is in total contrast to something that's indefinite or general. "The" means one. Well, Jesus said in that sentence that he was the truth. And we have said this before, but the word "truth" means unveiled reality. It is the complete opposite of what many catalogs are currently promoting, like the catalog out on the table. And it is cover-ups. Bathing suit cover-ups. Jesus is just the opposite of what many of us work so hard at, and that is concealment. And it's not necessarily just around a swimming pool. Our clothes, our makeup. We could have a long discussion about all of our different cover-ups. Well, at the Last Supper, Jesus not only described himself as the truth, but he described the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of truth. We could say the Spirit of unveiling. Then in John 16:13, Jesus said more about the Spirit. He said, "The Spirit will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever the Spirit hears, the Spirit will speak." And we could describe the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, as the truth family. And one thing that we find out in John 16:13 is that the truth family can't keep secrets. Because it tells us that whatever the Spirit hears, the Spirit speaks. So the truth family can't keep secrets, or it's possible that the truth family has no family secrets. Wouldn't that be wonderful? They have no need for cover-ups. The three, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, are transparent. They are open. They are candid. We've said it before, but we'll say it again. They're not hiding. That is a lie from the enemy if we think that they are hiding. A matter of fact, not only are they not hiding, But I know I repeat myself when I say they repeat themselves. They repeat themselves. In John 14:16, after Jesus says those three these, that he is the one, then in the same sentence, he says exactly the same thing in the negative. Because he says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And then he says, he repeats himself. He says, no one comes to the Father but through me. Jesus is unveiling the lie that all paths and all religions lead to God. It's a lie. It is a lie. I recently read an organization's value statement, and it said, part of it said this: we agree that we will not teach theories or wishful thinking. Some people might theorize or wish that every religion led to God, but it is not truth. Only Jesus Christ leads to God. Number two, welcome, sweet Anne. Number two, peace. The popularity of genealogy sites and kits show us we have a real hunger. And it's a hunger for family history. Anybody want to hands raise who's gone into the genealogy? Yeah. And it reflects a hunger for family history. And many of us, I think many of us, would love to talk to that great-grandmother. There's a great-grandmother I would love to talk to. Well, in John chapters 13 to 17, if you have a red letter Bible, it's almost all red. In those chapters, that's the breadth of what Jesus said during the Last Supper. And what we have in John 13 to 17 are Jesus' words. I don't know if it's accurate to say from his deathbed, but they are Jesus' words when he has less than 24 hours to live. So I think it's safe to say that John 13 to 17, it is not hyperbole to say that there is nothing spoken in those chapters that is not essential and paramount. Be a great thing to camp in when we have a break, Holy Week, John 13 to 17. So I return to the Last Supper, and just one verse, John 14:27. Jesus says this again to his disciples. He says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. It's so familiar. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. My dears, this is not someone near death who says, I want you to have that bracelet. It's not that. This is the Prince of Peace. It's the way he was prophesied 700 years before in Isaiah 9:6. Handel didn't make it up. He is the Prince of Peace, and he is saying to anxious souls, peace I leave with you. We leave something with someone when we are leaving, which Jesus was about to leave. When we're not going to be around, when we're not going to be visible. I think of young children and grandchildren. But then Jesus gave the bombshell. He continued in John 14:27, and he said, my peace. He said, my peace I give you. Jesus gives us his peace. The title of today's lesson is My Prize. And one thing which believers in Jesus are given are personal possession of the personal possessive pronoun my. It's explosive. It is explosive. Jesus' my becomes my. Y'all with me? A comma. Jesus' my becomes my. His peace becomes my peace. And Jesus could have said, he could have said this. He said, this peace is mine. It's mine. And by that, he could have been in toddler talk, where he meant, this is just mine. This is just mine. But he didn't limit it like that. He did not limit his peace like that. He said, Jesus gave and he gives his peace to his followers. He used that word give. He said, I give you peace. Jesus' peace is transferable. It's like DNA. It is like DNA. The Trinity, that truth family, they're also givers. They are not hoarders. The Trinity shares their stuff. It's crazy. We're talking the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They are givers. And that word give means adventure. Oh, yes. It also means receive. And it can be an adventure to receive the peace of God while you're riding a roller coaster. Yes? Yes. Well, in 14:27, we're also told that peace is a with thing. Because Jesus says, peace I leave with you. And we could spend the rest of the morning with verses. But I'm just going to give you two in Romans. Romans 5:1 says this, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then Romans 15:33, the God of peace be with you all. My is a prized possession. This prized possession, my, this with, is not to be held at a distance. It's not to be kept in a safety deposit box. With reflects the treasure of nearness. The treasure of nearness. We're supposed to wear it. We're supposed to sleep in it. We're supposed to swim laps in it. And this word with, it implies accompaniment. Well, we think of that as nearness, but it also has a musical connotation, doesn't it? And so Jesus' peace sometimes is the harmony in my circumstances. But there are other times that it's the main tune. It's the main tune. So take a big breath. That was Thursday night, the Last Supper. Now we're going to go 72 hours later. And it's Sunday. It's what we would call Easter night. And we're going to go a few chapters in John to John 20. Just a few verses. So much meat today, just a few verses. John 20, verses 19 to 22. A lot can happen in 72 hours. Yes? Yes. Beginning at John 20, verse 19. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Verse 20 in John 20. After Jesus said this, he showed them his hands and his side. This is after the cross. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, Jesus breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Well, I know this is not an appropriate way to put it, but in some ways, the Last Supper was a review before the exam. And Jesus went over all the questions. He went over all the questions. And he said, peace I leave with you. But now we're 3 days later, and the exam has come. And the disciples have locked the doors. They're so afraid. They have shut down. They are so scared. And some of us know this place. And it's called a peace leak. A peace leak. our piece has leaked out with the exam. But then, in verse 19 it says, in this place, Jesus came and stood among them. It's that with thing. It's that with thing. And we have to pause here and see that we have a prayer that we can remember without putting on an index card. And the prayer is, when we're in lockdown and had a leak, or somebody else is in lockdown and they've had a leak, we can just say, Jesus, come and give blank the with thing. That's all we need to say. He's done it before and he'll do it again. Remember that am is present tense. It's happening today. Well, and then Jesus said to his disciples, when he came within those locked doors, Jesus said, and here's that voice, he said, peace be with you. And I wonder if they thought, I think I've heard this before. The problem is that we toddlers can lose our flashcards. And then, sweet Jesus, again, verse 21 says, it says again, Jesus said, peace be with you. And it is the peace prize. It is the peace prize. And this is not, life with Jesus is not a single elimination tournament. There are second chances to get it. That's why he repeats himself. So we move to breakthrough. Recently, one of our fearless leaders, and I'll name her, Chris Coates, said, we need to be talking about Jehovah Jireh and Jehovah Rapha again. And Jehovah Rapha is who we want to pray to meet Lois Evans. He's God, our healer. Meet Lois Evans right where she is in her body. But Chris was right, and it was as if God had discerned her voice and our need. What happens? But last week's DVD gives us the names of God in every book of the Bible. You've got this list. You either got it or you're going to get it. Rich. This could be your whole summer. Our whole summer. It could be our whole life. I hope it'll be our study next year. But we were given this list of the names of God. Somebody in the night group said that she walked through her house, I think it was maybe last week, with Tony Evans' book, which is out on the table, The Power of God's Name. And she she walked through her house with that book, praying the names of God over her house. How rich. And so what do we have this week? But week four of our study ends with Tony Evans citing a passage which contains one of my very favorite names of God, and it is God of the Breakthrough. Now I know many of you, if you got through day five, you did a jig and you didn't even read that page that Tony Evans wrote. That's okay. But I'm gonna go to 1 Chronicles 14, and you can turn to it if you want, but I'm gonna read through the passage with you. It's 1 Chronicles 14. It's verses 8 to 17. And just because we've talked about repetition, this whole incident is totally repeated in 2 Samuel 5. The Holy Spirit doesn't want us to miss this when there's repetition. Okay, 1 Chronicles 14. We're in the Old Testament. That's okay. Jesus is in every book of the Bible. Verse 2 of 1 Chronicles 14 says, David, we've heard of him, David knew that the Lord had established him as king. David knew his identity as royalty, just like us. We're daughters of the king. That's our identity. Verse 8 says, when the enemy heard that David had been anointed. Now, anointed doesn't just mean the king. It means you're separated for God. Again, just like us. Just like us. When the enemy heard that there had been a separation for God, the enemy went up in full force to search for David. My friends, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, expect no less. You are a marked target. You are a marked target because you're a danger to the enemy. You're a danger to the enemy. Verse 9 says, the enemy raided the valley. It just means he spread out. Such a picture. Has the enemy spread out in 2019? Mm-hmm. Spread out in our culture, spread out in our families, spread out. Verse 10, because of this circumstance, it says, David inquired of God. He prayed. He prayed. And he asked the Lord this simple question, shall I go and attack? And the Lord answered. The Lord answered David and said, go. I will hand them over. And so verse 11, 1 Chronicles 14 says, so David and his men went up to Baal Perazim. Don't let the weird word throw you. Baal Perazim. And there he defeated them. And David said, as waters break out, God has broken out against my enemies. Hallelujah. And I've read a commentator say that Baal Perazim means the Lord who breaks out, or the Lord breaks through. And I've heard the name Jehovah Baal Perazim, but I can't find it in books. For simplicity's sake, the name we'll use today is the breakthrougher. Well, verse 13 of 1 Chronicles 14 says, once more, the enemy raided the valley. It's possible that the reason that God repeats himself is because our enemies repeat their tactics. It happened right here. Defeated him, and it says, once more. Verse 14, just like verse 10, it says, so David inquired of God again. He prayed to God again. There was no strut or presumption that was based on past victory. We're desperate all over again. Yes. And God, at this second inquiry, said, do not go straight up. Do not go straight up. It is a prize that God breaks through. And it's a prayer. That word breakthrough, it means break something down, scatter it. We can pray that over Lois Evans' cancer. We can pray that over buddies who are depressed. Break through, break through. But it's also a prize that God's strategies are creative and unpredictable. We might not like that, but it is a prize that he is not predictable. As our DVD said last week, he's bigger than we are. We cannot box his solutions. So in verse 14 and 15, God said, don't go straight up like the first time, but circle around. And this means that it's possible that sometimes when we're going in circles, it's just exactly his plan. But then God went on. He said, don't go straight up this second time. But then in verse 15, he said, as you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the balsam trees, move out to battle, because that will mean God has gone out in front of you to strike the enemy. Verse 16 says, David did as God commanded him, and I interpret that as David and Jehovah Baal Perazim struck down the enemy. Strange story. Yeah, it's strange, this marching in the trees. We can't box God. We can't box God. But there's nothing new here, because God says, as you hear. It's the word Shema. We say to toddlers, listening ears, undivided attention. We must pray. We must pray. Jehovah Baal Perazim, invade that circumstance that needs breakthrough. Lastly, final four. Recently, I had a little one in my back seat, and when we are in my car, we almost always listen to Damon Criswell. If you know Damon or don't Damon, go to Logos Bookstore and get Damon's CD. We listen to the Christmas CD. We always do. The three-year-old in the back seat said, I liked this song when I was your age. He's three, I'm 69. Love this kid. But it is a picture. The sequences of life are not always linear. They are not always linear. Like, who makes a trophy or who makes a prize before the beginning of the tournament? Who does that? Stick with me. 1 Peter 1, verses 18 to 20. Says this, you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb. He was chosen before the creation of the world. The prize. Before the creation of the world. And then we add to that Ephesians 1:4, which says, God chose us in Him before the creation of the world. Well, we probably know that after the Last Supper, Jesus was not lifted up high like a trophy presentation, like you see at the end of the Super Bowl or something, you know, lifting that trophy up. But instead, Jesus unceremoniously, he was stripped. He was stripped by soldiers like a paper towel roll. And then he was lifted up. And we all know he was lifted on the cross. And as we said before, prizes take sacrifice. And when the enemy saw that dead body on the cross beams, there's no question the enemy declared victory. However, the enemy declares victory, he declared victory on the morning of Good Friday. But as we said, a lot can happen in 72 hours. And so a little memory exercise. Everybody's still awake, I'm happy to say. A little memory exercise. We just talked about this a few minutes ago. John 20:19 says, on the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear, Jesus, that former dead body, came and stood among them. Jesus broke through. Jesus broke through and breaks through locked doors, fear, and death. So where does it leave us today? Where does it leave us today? Some of us here may be, we're here together, and I thank God for you. I thank God for you. We're here together, but we can be together, and we can still be locked up. And we can still be fearful. And so I want to close with one of the names on this list of names that you either got last week or you'll get in your small group room. And I know I'm just pulling it out of the list. We could do this with all of them. But I'm going to pull out Stranger in the Fire. And it's from the book of Daniel. And I'm just going to refer to one verse. We're not going to give any context at all. I apologize. But it's Daniel 3:25. And Daniel 3:25 says this. It says, look, I see four walking around in the fire. And, I love the way the King James says it here, they have no hurt. They have no hurt. It's the power of the presence of God. It's the power of His witness. It can even do that in a fire. I have a dear relative who is a deeply committed believer, and she has been widowed now for many, many years. But she said recently, she said, "I'm alone, but I'm not lonely." And the why of that is because Sissy is surrounded by three. It's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the final four. And it's true for all of us. Whatever is our age and stage, it ultimately comes down to the final four, me and the three. And that is my prize. And that is your prize. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. Let's pray. Lord, there really aren't any words. That's why the Holy Spirit needs to groan for us. That's for sure. That's for sure. We can't imagine that you three in one, in your holiness and your purity and your mercy and your grace, would give yourself to us, crazy toddlers. I think today all we can do is say thank you. Thank you, oh my Father. Thank you.